Report. WISS 1100 AM Berlin. W252 DR Oshkosh. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Your voice, your vote. I'm Sherry Preston. After all the campaign rallies and all the campaign rhetoric, Election Day is finally here. Donald Trump wrapped up his campaign in Grand Rapids, Michigan last night. His running mate, J.D. Vance, was in Atlanta.
We are going to take out the trash in Washington, D.C., and the trash's name is Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris's running mate, Tim Walz, finished up in Detroit.
Women all across America, of every age, both parties, are going to send a loud and clear message to Donald Trump, whether he likes it or not.
As of this morning, even before the polls opened, nearly 83 million Americans had cast their ballots. Donald Trump stepping up calls to have the winner declared shortly after the polls closed tonight, even though experts say, given how close the race is, that would be nearly impossible. This is ABC News. At least 20 people were killed in a new Israeli airstrike in Gaza. Palestinian officials say it hit a home. The IDF says it was targeting a weapons facility. In a Kansas courtroom, belief for dozens of people cheated in a scam.
In August, former Heartland Tri-State Bank Chief Shan Haynes in Wichita was sentenced to 24 years after stealing $47 million from customer accounts and wiring the money to cryptocurrency accounts run by scammers. The bank ran out of funds, was shut down, and sold to another bank by the FDIC, which covered depositors' losses. 30 shareholders in the bank, who thought they were out millions, have been told that the FBI recovered the funds from a cryptocurrency account in the Cayman Islands.
That's ABC's Chuck Sievertson. Instagram is putting AI to work to try to track down underage users. The system will scam accounts, and anyone deemed to be under 18 will be switched to a restricted account. Users can prove their age by uploading their ID. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM Oshkosh Air Support.
All Wisconsinites want our lawmakers to fight for a better future. But some elected officials are working to strip away our rights, like the right to make our own healthcare decisions or send our kids to well-funded schools. Wisconsin voters will be asked to change the state constitution on their November ballot. This anti-voter constitutional amendment could disenfranchise or create barriers for eligible voters. We're not going back. The League of Women Voters of Wisconsin is urging voters to vote no on the November 5th constitutional amendment.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
Changes for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, more roster changes for the Brewers. First baseman Jake Bowers and pitcher Bryce Wilson will not return to the team, both becoming free agents. Pitcher Frankie Montez declining his option to return to the crew. Both he and Colin Ray also headed a free agency. The Brewers GM, Matt Arnold, has been named baseball's Executive of the Year. Men's college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers opened their season with an 85-61 win over Holy Cross at the Kohl Center. NBA, the Bucks losing in Cleveland, 116-114. Damian Lillard had 36 points. The Bucks off to an ugly 1-6 start.
Just because it's a 1-6 start, like you said, is ugly. You know what I mean? But when you look at the big picture, you know, it's such a long season. It's 75 games left. I've been part of teams that have won 16 straight, 14 straight. You know, you just sometimes you just get in a ditch.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment feed, I'm Pete Schwabba. Martha Stewart might be dealing with a hangover due to her displeasure with her biopic Martha on Netflix. While promoting her new cookbook during an appearance on a game show similar to Family Feud, she took a shot at Ryan Reynolds. When asked which actors she would like to hang out with in real life, she listed George Clooney, her pal Snoop Dogg, and Brad Pitt, but made a point to say Ryan Reynolds is not funny in real life, adding that he is very serious. She also acknowledged her comments might not go over so well since the two are neighbors in real life. Despite the final season of Succession bringing Kieran Culkin his first Golden Globe Award, the actor has still not seen the series finale. In a recent appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Culkin said he missed it because he was in Poland filming a movie and then went right to a vacation with his family. The actor told Colbert he knows what happens, but just sort of missed his chance. If only there was a way he could still watch it. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Cloudy, drizzly, becoming breezy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. We'll get into the low 60s this afternoon. The wind picking up and switching to the south 15 to 25. Tonight, 41. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, special election coverage overtime with Maggie Dom plus former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And stick around for special Civic Media election night coverage. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on Election Day 2024. Joining us right now, a man I hold in the highest esteem for what he does for veterans in the area, Tim Cody, Box Valley Veterans Council. Veterans Day, of course, coming up. And Jim and I were just talking with him. And Tim, you could be, I have zero idea. I'm sure it's public knowledge because you're 501(c), but I have no idea how much money you make or whatever. But you could be making minimum 10 times more as an attorney. You're a tremendous prosecuting attorney, and you gave that up to help veterans in need, and that's pretty spectacular.
Thanks. I actually don't make anything.
You don't? Okay.
So yeah, no, I'm a full-time volunteer. I got an opportunity about 4 years ago. I wasn't very happy with my practice in the civilian world. As you know, a lot of it was in the Army for 28 years, and so I got this opportunity, and I said, you know, I'm a retired colonel in the United States Army. I have 100% disability from the Army. My wife has a decent job, and I went to her one day, and I said, hey, babe, you know, you think maybe I could take a break, just do this for a little bit.
Like a $225,000 break for my
job.
Know?
And she goes, yeah, you know, a year or two, that'll work. We're on year four at this point in time.
All right.
So, yeah.
Did you ever have that conversation with Donna?
Yeah.
This morning?
It is admirable that you have done that financially. I mean, you're doing it because it's a passion, but It's too bad that sometimes these really important things don't pay as well.
No.
You know what I mean? It just is. Even politics a little bit, and people need to give up this to do that. But I mean, you do it for the right reason. But your job is a little bit different what you raise money for. So talk to us a little bit about...
Well, I'm going to just say one thing, because I've worked with Tim very closely. And I will say this. The number one thing that I like the most about whatever's... I don't care what job somebody has. Are you doing something that affects in a positive way an individual, one human being type thing? And he does that to a lot of people. But instead of an organizational type thing, you're in the trenches with these people, aren't you, Tim?
Yeah. So you say one human being, one of the, I go to a business referral group every week, and you have to do a tagline, right? So one of my taglines is helping one veteran at a time.
Exactly.
There's
a name and a face to that person that money's going to.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a financial assistance program for vets who are in emergency need. So, we do two things. One, we hold them up while they're having that problem as long as we can. And then we try to get them help for whatever that problem is. Because let's face it. Let's say you have PTSD. But if you're getting ready to get thrown out of your house, you think you're going to your VA appointment? No. You're worried about trying to find a roof over your house. You know, if you have mental health issues, or if you have substance abuse, or what we're trying to do is get to the point where we find them hopefully before they're homeless, as our real goal is to try to keep them in their place for 2 to 3 months so that they can straighten their life out, get a direction to go, and keep them where they are. And that's another thing. You know, it's not just housing, it's utilities, security deposits, mortgages.
Gas.
Transportation.
Socks? Seriously. I mean, sure. We've worked together on this with somebody. They needed socks.
Yeah, clothing. You know, we try not to duplicate. There's a lot of other clothing folks. So sometimes, you know, we'll only fill those needs, hopefully, if somebody else can't get it done.
But you're also kind of a little bit of a conduit where you've got such great connections where,
right. You know, so, you know, clothing is most of the time we're not a clothing storage closet. So, you know, if one of our vets needs clothing, we refer them to, you know, multiple agencies that have that as well.
I'm going to say something here, and this is no lie. Having worked there for about 2 or 3 years, the Fox Valley is if you're a vet and you're in need of, I don't care what service it is. Wow. Do you guys have the entities to help out veterans in need? And wouldn't you agree how well you guys all work together?
Yeah, I mean, the Fox Valley, I just think is a remarkable place. I didn't grow up here. I'm not from here. I spent 28 years in the Army. I got the opportunity to retire here, and
one day he was working out. He got shot at by a sniper in Afghanistan. Sniper had him in his sights.
Iraq.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean,
it didn't turn out well for the sniper. I'm just gonna say that.
Yeah.
It is the most giving community I've ever been to, and I've lived all over the United States.
Yep.
All over the United States.
What's the biggest need, though? You work with the individual,
sure.
And yeah, you know, there's housing, which, you know, I work in a similar field, but with everyone. But is it the medical bills that get away on them? Is it what is the biggest need that you think? Is there one? Is there a common thread?
The biggest need is housing, definitely. 68% of our funds go to housing. That's the biggest problem, and the large increase of that has been the inflation. Huge. Just, you know, for the first time in our lives, we've had veterans who are decent tenants, right? Yeah. And they're getting priced out of their current place. They're like, okay, your rent's going up 42%, 52%, 58%, and they got to leave
out of the blue.
That can force someone into homelessness pretty quick. And they've been paying their rent. They've never missed a payment.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it goes from, you know, I got a guy that I'm working with right now, $900 to $1,300 to $1,900.
Yeah.
$1,900. Yeah. I can't afford that. Yeah. And it's crazy. $1,300 he was struggling with. But then when they, you know, slapped another $600 a month on, he's like,
just because they can.
That's because they can. Right.
Transportation is another one of those. It's lessened a little bit, but it's still terrible. I mean, there was a point where we never used to, you know, fix a car when the value, you look at the value of the car and then what you're going to put into it, and you're like, I'm sorry, we're not going to do that. But vets couldn't afford a car. They could not afford a used car. Used cars were going for $15,000, $16,000, $17,000 with 120,000 miles on them. Yeah. You know, where just a few years ago they were going for five or six. You know, so we started repairing cars for the value of the car because it was the only way they were going to have a vehicle.
Yeah. Can I get back to the housing?
Sure.
Because that's an issue. I mean, we have realtors that come in. It's an issue for everyone. But so what's the solution? What do you do? What do you find? We're working a little bit with these tiny homes. Where do you put these people if they get priced out?
I don't think there is a solution right now. I mean, I wish there was like, because I worked in this too, and it's like, I wish, okay, there's the solution. Let's work towards that. I don't know if there is one. Is there, Tim?
No. I mean, it's completely complicated. You have to come at it from several ways. We're on that side where we're dealing with the emergency then, right?
Right.
Now, that doesn't help down the line. That doesn't create more housing. What that does is just stop somebody from falling into an emergency, hopefully. You know, what we have to do is we have to have more housing all the way around, right? All the way around. You have to have more housing. So, and that's a hard thing because you just don't need lower end housing. That would be nice. But you need to have, you got all of these folks who bought their first time houses 10 years ago. They want to go to a bigger house, but they can't get into a bigger house, right? So they're not leaving their house. You got people like me who came in and I got a 2.25 mortgage. You think I'm going to leave that house and go? I want to size down.
No.
Right? I want to size down, but I can't.
And trade off for a 7 mortgage.
Right. You know, trade off for a 7% mortgage and let somebody else come into the bigger house. I mean, there's this whole domino effect that works all the way around, right? You also have, you know, the things.
It filters all the way down to homeless vets.
It does. And you also have, you know, not in my backyard, you know, when you try to build some lower income housing. You know, a lot of people don't want that. Or, you know,
we've dealt with that in Green Bay.
Right. You know, so, I mean, it's just a huge, it's, everybody understands it. You know, I mean, I feel for everybody. I mean, a landlord, you know, if he says, you know, it's not, some of them are, you know, I can raise it, so I will. That's capitalism, you know, supply and demand. But, you know, if their property prices are going to go up, if their taxes are going to go up because the value of their place is going to go up, well, they're going to have to raise their rent to, you know, make what they were making.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so.
I agree that the answer on a lot of levels, not just the veterans you're dealing with, but, you know, first time buyers, students, young, is the supply and demand. And we really, I mean, when I say we, I'm talking about a lot of really screwed up the last few years by not keeping up with the pace. I mean, we're so far behind just in our little community.
Well, I mean, you and I don't sit here and talk with our realtors and everything about, you know, housing things. Everybody's thinking about these, you know, $500,000 houses, yada, yada, yada. But notch, the person that gets kicked in the butt the most are these people like what you're dealing with on a daily basis.
You know, I'm always surprised about it. You know, I live just outside of Appleton. When I moved there 6 years ago, there was farmland on three quarters of the street and two farmhouses. The farmhouses are gone. The farmland's full of houses. So I'm like, I don't understand. It looks like we're building enough. But here's the thing. We talked about Appleton being a great place, right? That creates a housing problem. You want to know why?
Why?
Mom and dad have four kids. Three out of those four kids, they're staying in one house, right? Yeah. They got the family in that one house. Three out of those four kids stay in the valley. Guess what? Three more houses need to pop up because they become adults.
Right.
Yeah, not many apartments. People leave the Fox Valley.
Right.
You always talk about a brain drain for Green Bay. Right, they don't have that in the Fox Cities. It seems like they stay.
And so even without a increase in population or a severe increase or a huge increase, you still have a need for more housing because you got these kids growing up who love the place, who stay there, but they now need a house. Yeah. They're not in mom and dad's house.
That's a better example but divorces create a need for two homes versus one, you know? And you talk about, the kids are 19, 20. You're going to live in your parents' house forever. You want to get a house, but we're not there yet. We have not. I don't know why we didn't look at that because statistically, it's not a surprise, right? That kids are getting older and we're going to need more housing.
But one thing we always talk about, Jim, in the 2 minutes here for this segment, or stick around to me. But one of the things, Jim, that we talk about too, and Tim, you could verify this more than almost anybody, that slope between being a normal citizen and whatever, to literally being homeless is not that huge of a fall that you might, there's this image created by, you know, the media or whomever that, you know, a homeless person is a drunk or a druggie or whatever, and they're sleeping. There's people that are college educated. I you and I could talk about one of them who lives in his truck. You know who exactly who I mean. College educated, electrical degree or whatever.
I get it.
And he's homeless. Wouldn't you agree, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, the slope, and you know, you never know when someone's going to slip down it.
Exactly.
Right? And a lot of times I think it becomes an emotional thing.
Yeah.
Right? They have the qualifications, the capability, but something hit them, and they hit them hard. And now they quit doing those basic functions that we all take for granted. And that's what we try to do is get them back to those basic functions. Hey, return your phone calls. If I need this document, send me this document.
Boy, I'm
you're talking his somebody. Language here.
Well, when you come back, I want to talk about how we can get ahead of it, though, okay?
Yeah, sure.
We're at Tim Cody, Fox Valley Veterans Council. They do an amazing, amazing things for veterans in the Fox Valley area. Talk about a Veterans Day event they've got coming up, and we'll be right back after this.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
The kick is up and wide left.
Why don't they customize the goalposts? Make them wider.
Gina Della from Pella, how'd you get into the booth?
And why just yellow? Add some green stripes.
Sure, Gina. Should they also remove the G at midfield and paint a Pella crest?
Okay, Wayne, you can't customize a football game to go the way you want, but Pella can customize your home the way you want.
Right now, get 0% interest for 60 months.
Visit PellaWI.com.
Hold your appointment on or before November 8th. Certain restrictions apply.
Edgar Sawyer gave his home to the city of Oshkosh for the benefit of the public. In 1924, the Oshkosh Public Museum first opened its doors. The museum has grown since the 20s, including the addition of the Steiger Wing in the 80s, with expanded gallery spaces and dedicated archives. Be sure to check out the newly remodeled second floor with contemporary Native American art and Tiffany stained glass windows. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 4:30. Plan your next visit this weekend at OshkoshMuseum.org.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
In business, service is everything. Cintas delivers what you need to better serve your customers. Whether it's freshly laundered work apparel for almost any job imaginable, tested and inspected fire protection systems, first aid and safety supplies, on-site AED training, or mops and restroom products stocked and ready when you need them. Better work days happen together. So visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt and Air on Air.
Sometimes when I'm falling, flying, tumbling in turmoil, I say, whoa, so this is what she means. She means we're bouncing into Graceland. And I see.
Hey, welcome back. Tim Cote, Fox Valley Veterans Council, joining us today to talk about our Veterans Day event. And boy, you and Jim speak the same language. Every day, you guys try to find a way to help people have a roof over their heads. And I'm not trying to make that sound melodramatic, but it's the truth. You guys are the difference between having a roof over your head or literally sleeping in that the doorway over there.
Yeah,
sometimes
we need to work them out of homelessness. That's what our program is. I mean, we're not a shelter place, food and it's like, look, when you come to our place, it's like, you want to leave that behind you, but it's hard. Everybody says, "Oh, how the staff works so hard where I work," and we do. But the residents work a lot harder than we do because they're getting a new life. That's why it's called new community. Do you work the programs? I mean, I'm trying to get a handle on you. These utility bills come, or these unbelievable rent things come, or these medical bills come, and they say, "Look, you know, we're done. We're taking you down." You come in and kind of would rescue or save be the right word?
Kind of a buffer, I would think.
A buffer. You know, I think of it like I'm holding them up, you know, so they can hang on to that window and pull themselves back through. And I'm giving that, I'm holding them to that point. So
you don't want you guys to be the end all for these people.
Right. Right. Well, and I can't afford that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I can't afford that. Right. You know, the charity can't afford that right now. You know, so we are a temporary emergency, assistance. So that's what we do. And the other thing, and I want to put a plug in for you guys, always, you know, say, I'm doing this. I'm not doing this. My caseworkers are doing this. You know, I'm the guy who's out there begging for money and talking to you guys and doing stuff like that.
Right.
I've got five volunteer caseworkers, and I have a case manager. The five caseworkers are volunteers. They do it on their own.
Wow.
And then the case manager is a paid employee. And I also have a community engagement manager who also does a lot of work with the veterans. You know, I take some of the phone calls when I'm there and everything else, but I try to focus on, you know, raising the money and doing all that stuff to keep the program going. And those folks are just absolutely, you know, fabulous in what they do. And it's just, you know, there are certain things that can be done. What we notice is there's just that gap when those people are getting ready to fall into complete homelessness or just total emergency. There was no net right there for that to stop to catch him for that.
Yeah.
And so that's why we filled that. We filled
that like
spot.
Final step between.
Right. Yeah. And so our job is to stop them from making that fall down the precipice.
But okay. So if we're talking about housing is the main thing, medical bills, like how can we get ahead of this? Because I think I just want to tell you from some experience I've had, you've got to read your mail. And if you don't like a bill, you got to call them. And there's a lot of people who will help
you. That sounds like a pretty basic thing, but you say that is a legitimate problem, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there are lots of reasons for folks that are in there. Some of it's beyond their control. Some of it is within their control. We're there to help them so that they can start thinking more clearly and understand what's in their control and what they can do to better their lives, right? What are the small things you can do to get where you are? So, yeah, it's, you know, hey, return your phone calls, answer your mail. You know, even when we're trying to assist them, you know, trying to get some of them to just give us the basic documentation is difficult sometimes. Not always, not for every one of them, but, you know, there's no cookie cutter for any of these folks. And it depends. Sometimes medical bills have put them into it. Sometimes it's been substance abuse. Sometimes, you know, it's been a death. And I mean, you just never know what can send somebody into kind of a almost a dysfunctioning type of position.
I will say this for the people I dealt with at the village we worked together with helping them. A lot of them got into whatever you want to call it, alcohol, drugs, whatever. And they were married. And the wife just basically said, nope, I'm not going to deal with this. And so she leaves, and she might have been the anchor for the whatever. And then they're on their own, which only leads to more substance issues to the point, and you, all three of us have dealt with this, where they're rock bottom, and they come to us or whomever to help them from there. Wouldn't you agree with that, Tim and Jim? Wouldn't you agree that happens a lot of times?
Yeah, I mean, it's usually a change in circumstances,
right?
Whether it's your spouse or a best buddy, or you had a job and now that's gone, or, you know, physically all of a sudden you can't do something that brought you happiness and kept you in a good place,
exactly.
Right? Now all of a sudden you're not in that good place, and that can just start to tumble you down.
And spirals.
You know, when you say, don't open the mail, why aren't they opening the mail? Because they're scared of what's in the mail.
It's bad news.
And so it's bad news. And so they avoid it. Avoidance is it's a human trait. Hey, if I turn my eyes, look away, it's not there yet. And if it's not going to be there immediately, that sometimes is their way of dealing with it, which is a wrong way to deal with it. But I mean, that we need to understand why that's happening.
It's the worst
right?
way to deal with it.
You know, we don't understand why that's the way that happens. So we try to understand why what's happening, getting them help, but also getting them to go, hey, I have to take responsibility for some of where I'm at, right? And get them the help to do that.
But how it's so important. You're trying to help them with this through this window, but that they have a little safety net for at least 30 days, because if it's all piling on, they're not thinking clearly.
Correct.
And then you make some bad decisions on top of other bad decisions.
Right.
And then that's really bad. So we just really believe that, you know, we're in the whole Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, that you really have to have safe shelter and food. And then you can start at least, okay, now I can make some decisions. But they have to have that.
Also
that
the
safety is...
Also the pride factor of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting help.
Right.
And I think people need to be okay with that. There's nothing wrong with that. We live in a very tough world at times. And but if you can get that safety, that shelter, that you're safe, you're okay right now. Nothing's going to happen to you. We had a guy in here, Tim, that was homeless guy sleeping behind the police station.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was afraid to be getting beat up.
This guy was like 6'2", 260 pounds.
He was.
Big tie, the last guy in the world I want to tangle with.
Right.
And he said he was scared to death
every
time he'd go to sleep because what could happen to him on the street. So he slept next to the police station, and they would roust him, of course, but he just felt safer there.
Sure.
So can you imagine, like I told Jim, I said, I go for walks on Sunday mornings around here. You see these ladies sleeping in doorways on a Sunday morning here. My God, I can't even imagine how scary that would be.
So what kind of decisions are they going to make?
Yeah, I mean, when you're at that point, you're really at the bottom. You're looking for, you're scrounging for food. You're looking to keep yourself safe. You know?
Are your headphones too loud?
No.
Okay, okay. I see you taking them out. I didn't know.
Yeah,
that's a good
term.
Okay, go ahead. All right.
We try to keep them from that point,
right? Yeah, I understand.
We try to stop before they get to there. And if they're there, we try to at least pull them out. So, you know, we can do some hotels for a while. We can do some stuff like that. But, you know, it's just...
We got to send a break. I want to bring up a point because I've been asked this question, and I'm not even exaggerating, probably 100 times, literally 100 times. Why are so many vets homeless? And what I try to tell people, if there was like homeless lawyers, homeless, you know, factory workers, it'd be the same type of thing,
right?
But at least there's organizations that have picked one entity to try to help, and that's the vets. I want to get on that because I get that question all the time. Quick break. Back after this.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Yes, it's Election Day, and rural communities and agriculture have a lot on the line. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. We'll take a closer look at some of the agriculture's specific items at risk next.
Now's the time to get right with Pivot Bio Nitrogen. The right source, at the right rate, at the right time, in the right place. Sounds good, right? And now is the right time to act. With zero payments, zero interest, and zero worry. Until December 1st, 2025, on the best source of nitrogen. Get right with Pivot Bio. For more information, visit PivotsProvenIt.com. That's PivotsProvenIt.com.
Jason Mungnaini is the Executive Director of Government Relations for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. He reminds farmers and those in the rural community, it's not just about the presidential election. It's also about the makeup of Congress and Senate.
Farming could be attacked with the wrong mix. We could have people who don't understand or don't care about farm issues making laws and voting on laws that deal with farming. There are some stalwart protections that farmers have in this state, like right to farm, like use value assessment, like livestock siting laws that are necessities for us to be able to continue operating farms. And if those things were attacked, Wisconsin's agricultural economy would look very different in a very quick period of time.
Jason Mungnaini, Executive Director of Government Relations for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, he says early voting numbers are actually encouraging. He says rural votes are up this year compared to the previous presidential election.
Actor portrayal.
When I first looked into life insurance, I worried about the hassle. Then I found Better Life. Their simplified issue whole life coverage plans mean no medical exam. I found a plan that fit my budget, and now my final expenses are covered. Plus, I get Better Life member benefits at no extra cost. That's definitely better.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
And it does not look like the harvest is going to stand in the way of farmers getting to the polls. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service shows, as of Sunday across the state, we were nearly 3 weeks ahead of our five-year average, with 81% of the corn already harvested. That grain coming in at about 17% moisture on average. 98% of our soybeans are already in the bin. The winter wheat benefiting from some of the rain we've picked up, 72% of that crop looks good to excellent right now, 6 percentage points higher than last week, and 63% of the fall tillage is already complete. There's your update on what's happening in food news for a Tuesday. Do get to the polls, please. I'm PM Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy, drizzly, becoming breezy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. We'll get into the low 60s this afternoon. The wind picking up and switching to the south, 15 to 25. Tonight, 41. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Back from the store, dear?
Can you believe the grocery bill was over $200? Can't anybody in Washington vote no on these spending bills that drive up debt and inflation?
Glenn Grothman has always been one of the most frugal members of Congress. But I thought we were voting for Glenn for his work on the border to stop over 200,000 people a month from entering the nation illegally.
We have 850,000 new legal citizens every year who follow the law.
Dad, I'm voting for Glenn Grothman because he's advocating to keep the work centers open for people with different abilities so they can find their career.
Glenn stands up to the special interests. He takes no campaign donations from drug companies. He's also a proponent of ending race-based hiring.
He is outspoken, not afraid to take on the tough issues. And one thing I know about Glenn, he tells it like it is.
I'm Glenn Grothman, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Glenn Grothman for Congress.
From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for new... Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app.
Download it today.
Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. It is Election Day, obviously, ladies and gentlemen. We're with Tim Cote, and we're talking a little bit different here, though. Fox Valley Veterans Council, Veterans Day event coming up. But again, I just want to harp on something. And Jim, of course, basically runs a homeless shelter.
I work
and,
there.
Or you work there, and the whole thing. And but the people there say you run it. When I've talked to them, they say,
hey, Jim runs it.
I work
there. He runs it.
I work there.
Anyway. Everything that goes wrong is your fault.
That's right. Exactly. I'll remember that. No, that'll take
but like
that.
I said, I've had numerous people say, why are so many vets homeless? And I don't know if there's, I don't know, Tim, you could tell me, or Jim, you could tell me more. Are there a bigger proportion of vets in general being homeless versus factory workers or a guy that worked at a restaurant or a guy that was whatever, whatever? Is there a correlate? Is there a difference?
So I couldn't, you know, explain it against factory workers. I could explain it against the general population, yes. At least in the state of Wisconsin, we have more homeless vets beyond their proportionality than the regular citizen. Now, why does that happen? That's a good question. Well, one, of course, we have the largest population that's going to have PTSD issues. Right. More than any other organization that goes along with that. You're going to have a connection of substance abuse to deal with those PTSD issues if they're not getting help. So that's a secondary to that. The other thing is you come from a culture in the military, right, where you are focused. You're told what to wear. You get to be generally told where to live and your job. And that sounds terrible to so many civilians, but I loved it because it actually created freedom. I call it freedom through discipline. Right. I didn't have to worry about what I was going to wear the next day. I didn't have to, you know, worry about where I was going to go. The Army's going to tell me. And I just got to focus on everything else. All these
where
other,
are you going to eat, when you're going to eat, and what you're going to eat.
All these other choices, yep. All these other what I call more important choices were free for you to expand upon and do. And all of a sudden you take that structure away, right? And that's gone. And now they have this plethora of stuff pouring in on them. That, you know, if they had an intense tour or just, you know, really got inculcated into the military service, that can be difficult. When people ask what's the most difficult thing, you know, when I got out after 28 years, it was trying to think like a civilian, right? I mean, I had a structured life. When something was wrong, I was very direct when something was wrong. And I remember working in a law firm and turning a document in that I had pen marked up because it was full of what I thought were improper grammar, and because it was going to be my letter, and the paralegal had written it. Oh, she was nuts. She could not believe that somebody actually corrected her stuff. And that was my very first experience, right? I said, well, it's my letter. I'm signing it. This is how I want it to be. But a very different world, and it happened several times, is that when there was an error or something I disagreed with and I was the boss for that case, you know, I was, you know, direct. I guess how they said it, I was direct, but... A lot of people in the military are like that, and then they come
you,
out. And,
I can't picture you any way other than direct. I cannot visualize that.
Yeah, if you're going from, let's focus a little bit more on the military. You're going from one world to another world.
Yeah.
And I agree. I've heard that before, you know, in terms of the, I've never served, so, but the discipline's unbelievable what you guys had. I mean, many, many, many decisions are made for you, but you make a good point. It frees you up to make other decisions. You
and
know what I mean?
I will say this, though, too. Modern military versus a lot of these guys from that era, it was a lot worse. It was a lot stricter. I mean, those, Tim, you're right on the precipice between the two worlds of military where they would just, you got your shirt untucked the slightest bit. I mean, you might be doing 1,000 push-ups for the next 2 days versus nowadays.
Okay.
Right, Tim?
Yeah.
But the transition, though, I mean, if there was a good transition from one world to another world, you wouldn't have this homelessness. So is there more being done at the exit level?
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot being done. The thing is, you have to get the soldier, the sailor, the airman, the Marine to understand that that's an important process. Because when they're getting out, what do they want to do? They want to get out.
Right.
Right?
Just get out.
They don't want to listen to... I mean, we have physical training, job opportunity. I mean... It's a long time preparer. The Army, and I can speak from the Army because that's where I got out of. They do a really good job doing it. But I can tell you, half the people in there were bored out of their mind and falling asleep because they just wanted to leave. And it was a probably a two-month process where you had to go to these courses and classes, and they gave you all of these assets to check up on and do stuff. And, you know, people are – a lot of the soldiers, they're young, and all they're thinking about is, I'm just not going to be yelled at by my first sergeant in 3 days, and I want to go out and get home and see my friends and party and blah, 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 and I'll think about all that later. Well, now you're gone and you're not there, and now you didn't keep the book, or you didn't keep the assets, or you don't know where the connections are and stuff like that. And so it's getting them to understand that that's very, very important, and it's getting them to use their damn skills that they learned in the service in the civilian world.
Well, I've told this story before, and Jim knows it. When I was embedded in Iraq, and they were handing out those huge bonuses at the time if people would re-up while they're in a war zone. Mm-hmm. And it was like 25 grand or something, wasn't it, Tim?
It depended on, you know, what year you're talking about and what their MOS
2006,
was.
2006, 2008.
Right. That's when I was over there with you at the same time. So that was the middle of the surge, right? So we were trying to get 30,000 extra troops there. So they were giving out pretty big bonuses. Yeah, that kept some people
and
in.
And the frustrating part, and I bit my tongue, but I have these young 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds, maybe at the most, and they say, hey, Mr. Mino, you want to see what I'm buying with my bonus? Yeah. And they'd show me this Harley or this F-150 truck for $26,000. I'm putting my whole bonus towards, and I wanted to say, no, get a financial advisor, put half of that away, put it into whatever. But they would just, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And one other thing, Tim, and I don't know if you deal with this anymore, but there was an era, and I actually, this is a true story, after I got like 2 speeding tickets and I had to go to the judge when I was 18, he goes, you ever think about joining the military? You're not on a good path here, son, type of thing. Wow. And a lot of those people back then, when they'd get in trouble, they were troubled, you know, whatever, and that would be their option, going into the military. And at least nowadays, you guys get people that are a little bit more cognizant of how to live life, to, you know what I mean, in the right way versus back then, but they still fall through the cracks is what I'm trying to say. And again, at our Veterans Village, we'd get these guys who'd had great jobs and they had a family, and then whatever reason, once that got pulled out, they become a different person. Isn't that the truth?
It can happen. And here's the thing. Most of your service members are like everybody else. They're not quite as weird as me, who decided to spend 28 years in there and love the life. Right. I mean, I love
even though
you
got shot at by snipers,
you know,
did I tell you what he did to that sniper?
Yep.
I didn't do anything to that sniper. Somebody else did something
next
to that sniper.
While he did that.
Like I say, most of our service members are just like civilians. They went through. You have those, like I said, who were warped like me, who spent 28 years. And then you have those who really gave a lot. They did some really nasty tours. And that changes their life.
No question.
I mean, I can tell you, you know, I was behind the scenes and I had people protecting me all the time. And I had my own personal security detachment that looked out for Colonel Cody. And that changed my life in several ways. I can never imagine being that person who's always kicking the door in, who's always that first person over and over and over again. I mean, that is going to leave something.
And not only that, Tim, and you and I have both dealt with this. Guys that did that and lost buddies doing it.
Yes.
Like, great for, like, we're all sitting here, and then tomorrow one of us is gone, or I don't mean to sound weird, but, or lost a leg, or what.
Sure.
I mean, terrible things that, you know, the human mind is a little more fragile sometimes. You can be so gung-ho and so whatever, until some of that stuff happens, and to be able to say, oh, well, forget about it, or just, your mind is damaged.
Yeah. Colonel, if you're...
Ooh, I like calling you
Colonel. You're doing... Wow. But you're doing the... When they're... I want to get back to what the preventive side of it. I don't think we're doing enough as a government and as a people to... Because they must come to you and say, what happened? And you're like, well, this guy. And how could that have been prevented? And like, I think of the NFL, and it's not a great analogy, but I can't think of anything else right now, but they do a pretty good job of, look, this isn't going to last forever. I mean, you are going to be out in the real world and you need to start saving some money right now. You need to maybe shine up your job skills, unless these guys come out with gazillionaires, but there's some of them that don't. And I think they're doing a better job of that. Are we doing as well in the Army, the military?
Well, I would say probably not, because you look at the ability of the NFL to spend money on a very small population versus, you know, the large population, everybody in the service, right?
Yeah.
So one, two, they have a lot bigger safety net to go because they're coming out, even the lowest paid are coming out with millions of dollars. So they have a long way to spend that, where, you know, our enlisted troops are not coming out with much. So it doesn't take long for that safety net to disappear that they, whatever they had done and built up.
Like I said, it wasn't a great analogy. I just couldn't think of any.
That might be the worst analogy you've ever had in the history of this show.
I just want to get...
Todd, give me the bell.
I'm trying to think of a way to get... your life's going to change. Here's a really good exit ramp for you. And I think that NFL does a really good job, but that wasn't a good...
I will
comparison.
Say this, and I understand exactly what you're saying, Jim, and you're correct, but some of these guys, for whatever reason, I hate to use the word, but they're kind of knuckleheads at some time. Tell me, we almost want to grab and say, what's wrong with you? Do you see what we have to offer you? And they just kind of blow it off until they get to the point where they really need it, correct?
I mean, yeah, that can be a few that do that, and like I said, they are failing in some basic skills that we just take advantage of every day. And it's usually something else that's driving that. It's a depression. It's a mental disorder. It's a substance abuse. You know, it's why did they get that point? The other thing you have to understand is I'm still dealing with a majority of veterans who got out when those programs didn't exist. So I'm still dealing with Vietnam veterans, which is a large part. They didn't have those programs back in the day. All the way, those programs didn't start till after we started our wars against terror. And those folks are younger, right? So they're more resilient in that sense. What we're getting now are a lot of the folks who they got out during Vietnam or after that. They succeeded in the civilian world to a certain extent, but not to a lot. Where when something goes wrong, they have something that will catch them. Mm-hmm. And as you get older, you get less resilient. You become less employable. You just don't do everything you need to do.
And we talked about that slope, Jim.
When you're 63 years old and you've been working in bars your whole life after you got out and you get fired from the bar, now what are you going to do?
Yeah. You know what's ironic? Some of the most well-adjusted guys and women that I've met that have been in the war are those that have been wounded and those that have seen how bad things can be. And I think they've got a little bit of, I'm a lot better off than my buddy. I'm a lot better off than that guy. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I've seen a lot that are very inspirational. I don't know if we see those that have failed in that area, right? So we don't put those folks up. You know, if somebody's lost their leg, and that's something that they haven't been able to deal with well, you're not going to see them in the world.
No, that's right? What I mean.
You're not going to see them.
I'm interviewing a guy today, Tim, for my book. Vietnam veteran, bailed out of, got shot down as a pilot. His leg was horrifically broken, terrible, to the point where the North Vietnamese thought he wasn't going to live, so they just threw him in a cell. And the maggots ate the dead flesh so well from him that he survived.
Yep.
Became tremendously successful. I mean, you ever want to talk about woe is me type of thing, had to get his leg amputated. And tremendously successful. And the thing I find, though, with some of those guys, like when I was at Walter Reed, Ward 57, Walter Reed Hospital, physical therapy, and there's this young kid, and he'd lost an arm, and he had a prosthetic for his other one. And we asked, hey, how you doing, buddy? You doing? No, man, I'm so depressed. It's unbelievable. I'm like, well, the therapist said you were doing great things. You're the star of the show here. He says, oh, this is nothing. No, that's nothing. He said, I'm just so depressed that my guys are over there by themselves. And I got this knucklehead I needed to watch out for all the time. And this guy can't read a map. And it's killing me because I'm here living the good life versus those guys.
Well, I would say, and you're talking about Walter Reed.
Yes.
Okay. Which I've been to that pain clinic and had to go to that pain clinic. And that is the world class. First of all, they get the best pain management in the world for phantom limb pain and everything else. And they have the best therapists that are right there to deal with
Ward
that.
Ward 57.
Right? So you are getting world class treatment with people who have experience on the ground immediately, right? It's like going to an ER that's in the middle of an inner city that deals with
trauma
and all that stuff.
I got a niece who's
that's where you want to go.
Emergency room nurse in Pontiac, Michigan. Can you stick around, Tim?
Sure.
Tim Cody here, Fox Valley Veterans Council, Maria Parmigiani, Extra News coming up after this.
A little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it. He said, have a seat, and I sat down. Is this the first time you've been to our little town? I said, I think it is. He said, I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a... Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM Oshkosh Air Support.
Guess what? The kids are coming up for Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's great news. Speaking of Thanksgiving, our neighbors said all their kids were coming up too. They were worried about the high cost of groceries, though.
Are you going to roast the turkey this year, or should I?
And they blamed it on inflation. It seems everyone is blaming everything on inflation.
Oh, they shouldn't blame inflation. The Fed is cutting interest rates, for crying out loud. Next year, when I'm in Congress, I'll ask the grocery industry why they are using their market power to make record profits while selling us less food. You know, ask them why they are price gouging us.
Good idea. Now, this Thanksgiving, I'll roast the turkey and you get ready to roast the price gougers.
I'm John Zarbano and I approve this message.
Paid for by John Zarbano for Congress.
To all you tool people out there, has Harbor Freight got a deal for you? Big savings every single day this November. Because we know that right now, when the price of everything only seems to go up, you need a place where prices stay low. So shop in-store or online for quality tools you can trust at prices you'll love every day. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, welcome back. Mido the Mayor here on Election Day. Coming your way, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WSS. And, of course, the Civic Media app worldwide. Tim, people are seeing you worldwide.
Oh, God.
Do you think somebody in Iraq is saying, I remember him?
I hope nobody happening? Remembers me from there.
61 degrees in Green Bay, 61 in Appleton, 60 in Oshkosh, on a rainy, rainy morning. Maria Parmigiani, Action 2 News, is standing by to join us. But first, Tim, talk about a big event you guys coming up to raise funds for your great, great organization, Fox Valley Veterans Council, coming up on Veterans Day.
Okay, we're not raising any funds on Veterans Day.
I was wrong.
That's okay. We're honoring.
I'm going to say this. Jesus. I will give you money right now.
Awesome.
Okay.
For that gun you won
the
night I was emceeing the banquet. I will buy that from you right now.
$3,000 goes to the council.
Is that how much it would be?
No, that's your
price.
That's my price.
$3,000 The most beautiful rifle I've ever seen in
council.
My life.
I'll donate it to the council.
Is that a good deal?
Well, it'll go up in value as long as it's not fired.
To what?
Ooh, five?
When?
I don't know.
Oh, you know.
But,
don't you? Hey, you jumped out of your chair that night when your number was called out. Like, I can't believe. So you know what that's worth. Don't give me that.
Because I was a winner.
That's awesome.
Winner.
All right, so let me tell you. So on November 11th, we get the privilege of doing the Outagamie County Veterans Ceremony. November 11th, 11 o'clock. So that's to honor veterans. That's one of our missions.
I've been there, and it's a really cool event. All
right. We're going to have Aaron Hunnell as one of our speakers. He was 20 years in the military. He's an inspirational speaker, deals with physical fitness and those type of things and how that can motivate you in your life. So when we talk about fixing vets and how to get them, how to do that, this is a way to get your head,
about how physical
head straight
fitness can get you
and get motivated.
Oh, yeah. I'm all over it.
Oh, yeah, I'm all over it.
Our big fundraiser.
Or I snorted. I'm sorry.
Our big fundraiser is going to be March 7th, 2025, down in Oshkosh, Venue 404.
Oh,
Prohibition, Veterans Prohibition Ball. We did it last year, the very first time. It's awesome. It's like going into the speakeasy. Your ticket is your donation. I don't ask for money after that. And you get to come in and you get, we have VIP tickets and regular standard tickets. They get all you can drink, all you can eat. We have a 1920 swing band and we have casino tables. And
that sounds like fun.
It is a blast. Last year, everybody came into theme, and it looked like I was running a speakeasy.
That's awesome.
It was awesome.
This is an Oshkosh, right?
This is Oshkosh.
Todd, okay, so last week we did our show from our studios in Oshkosh. Tell Tim about that building.
Well, our building.
Yes,
our building in Oshkosh was actually a speakeasy back in the day. So that's kind of cool.
Very cool.
The location you have is perfect because they used that in the movie with
Public Enemies.
Oh, Public Enemies. Yeah. Yep. That's right. That's I was just in that building this weekend.
What was his name?
Johnny Depp.
Yeah. Can I share a text that we got in?
Yes.
Very important. Ken texted in on our Facebook, said, reaching out for help is one of the bravest things anyone can do. That includes veterans. In the military, we're taught to push through challenges, to be stronger no matter what. Sometimes that can make it feel like asking for help is a sign of weakness, but it's not. Real strength isn't about handling everything alone. It's about knowing when we need support and being courageous enough to ask for it.
And that was a text you just got?
That is.
Wow. Yeah. That says it all, doesn't it, Tim?
Yeah.
Asking for help is like the hardest step at times.
It can be. It can be seriously the hardest step. And, you know, they fear rejection. You ask for help and get rejected. I can, because sometimes we have to reject people. Either they're asking for something we don't cover. They're asking for too much. They may not meet a definition of a veteran. That there's an actual federal statute that defines being a veteran. And it's always one of the very, very worst things in my job is when somebody actually does open that up and for some reason we can't assist them monetarily. We can always assist them with referrals, and we always will do that.
Right.
We'll still give them a caseworker, and we'll try to connect them with some other organization that may be able to assist them. But, yeah, you're right. That breaking down and going, I actually need help, can be a big barrier, particularly for veterans.
And I think
you deal with that, Jim?
Yeah, we do. But maybe another veteran has to tell them that there's help out there. You know, sometimes, you are a veteran, but somebody like me, maybe they're not as comfortable. Whereas I think it's, you bring people together, I think there's a lot that can be learned from talking to other people like yourself.
Yeah, I would say at least 90% of all our referrals come from veteran organizations or the VA or other veterans that have convinced them to come in.
Right.
Okay, we're winding it down here, Tim. One more time. Tell me about, is it on the steps of the courthouse once again?
November 11th. It is going to be in the old courthouse out of Outagamie County. It's going to be inside because you never know what November 11th is like, right?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
I got to speak there one time for it, and it was 5 degrees.
Actually, it was Memorial Day, I think, the last time I was there. You guys did a ceremony Memorial
Day. We do a Memorial Day there as well. That's correct.
Yeah.
11 o'clock. And it's not a long ceremony. It's a great, if you're in the area, it's a great 30-minute ceremony to go in and just honor your veterans for that day.
And tell us once again, coming up in March, down the road,
7th,
we'll talk more about that. But
March 7th, Venue 404, Oshkosh, the Veterans Prohibition Ball.
Okay.
We're going to have tickets on sale probably coming up in December for that. That'll be awesome.
And you know, you talk about people that talk the talk and walk the walk.
Yeah, right there.
This guy right here left an amazingly successful lawyer career. Is that the best way to put it? Lawyer career?
Sure.
And I still think what you did, and I don't know, I'm not going to get into the big story, but a young girl that was just abused terribly, you put her, was it her dad or stepdad or somebody, you put him in prison.
Her father.
I think it's phenomenal what you did and how you did that. And also, tell me again whatever happened to that sniper that tried shooting you that night.
He doesn't want to.
All right, thanks for
what
you're doing,
Tim.
Story,
it is. That's a good story.
It's a great story over beers. Tim right. Cody.
He will not be at the event.
No, that sniper will not be at the event. Tim Cody, Fox Valley Veterans Council. Tim, what you do for veterans is unsurpassed in our entire area. Thanks for what you do, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate
good
the
seeing
time.
You.
All right.
Take care, Tim.
Think about that rifle. Think about just, it looked good in my
For
camp.
$3,000.
$3,000. Jim. Get some of your slush fund out and give it to me. We get set a break. Maria Parmigiani from Extra 2 News joining us next.
In liberating strife, who more than self, our country loved.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it is here. It is Election Day. Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. Make sure you go to vote. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
All Wisconsinites want our lawmakers to fight for a better future. But some elected officials are working to strip away our rights, like the right to make our own healthcare decisions or send our kids to well-funded schools. Wisconsin voters will be asked to change the state constitution on their November ballot. This anti-voter constitutional amendment could disenfranchise or create barriers for eligible voters. We're not going back. The League of Women Voters of Wisconsin is urging voters to vote no on the November 5th constitutional amendment.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support. WISS 1100 AM Berlin. W252 DR Oshkosh.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.